Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of the Skype Show. My name is Mark Vale, and today I have Ian Smith, an Office Services and Services MVP. He will be on the show later on, and also we have Workstream People and showing their product Anywhere 365, the Skype for Business Contact Center, and I'll be presented with Mathis van Domselaar. And then we have a follow-on session from Microsoft UK being delivered by Graham Hosking later on. And then we'll just have some closing announcements. So first up is the agenda for this episode. So in session one, Ian Smith's going to be talking to us about the new Mac client that was being released very shortly and through all the answers and good stuff coming out of Ignite. Regarding that. And then in session two, we have Anywhere 365 demo, and we also have Graham Hosking from Microsoft talking about the new enhancements around Cloud PBX, Skype for Business Online. And we may touch on later is some of the key announcements in the Skype for Business world around that come out of Ignite last week. Without further ado, it's my great pleasure to introduce Ian Smith, and he'll be talking about the Mac client. Welcome, Ian.
Hi Mark, yeah, thanks for the invite and the intro there. So today I'm going to be doing a session for the Skype show around the Mac client, in particular the Skype for Mac new device, new application, which is certainly getting a lot of airtime at the moment. As this recording is going out, the Ignite's going on over in Atlanta, and I know Gurdeep started his pitch and presentation around the Skype for Mac client and what that is going to do for the whole ecosystem of Skype for Windows, Skype for Business, and Skype for Mac. So it's certainly something Microsoft are really pitching at this moment, something what I know myself and lots of other Mac users have been crying out for a long time. As I'm sure you probably know, there's a link for Mac Client 2011, which looks dated, it looks old, it doesn't do all the things what it should do, and some of the things it does in a poor manner. So, first of all, before we just jump into the whole Mac debate, let me just jump over to the next slide and talk about myself. So, as Mark said, my name is Ian Smith. I'm the head of consulting at Modality Systems in the UK. I run a team of consultants ranging from engineering consultants, senior consultants, and principal consultants, including within the team, three managing consultants who tier down run the consultants underneath. So myself, I'm based in Leeds in the north of England, although Modality's head office in St Albans. I come from a background of UC. Now I've been in the marketplace for UC now for going on 10 years. I historically come from a background of legal, being an architect at a legal firm, so I know that sector particularly well, and I know there's a lot of movement within legal at this moment around Skype for Business and what that can provide that sector. Also, I've done quite a lot in public as well. I guess the reason for calling them out, they're probably my specialities and something I enjoy getting involved with, but equally, certainly corporate clients and others alike, I certainly get my hands dirty on as well. Also, like Mark and the show, I'm also a blogger as well, and I can be found at the Northern UC website, which is over here, and also on Twitter at Northern UC. One thing I didn't mention on the Who Am I slide here is I also run a user group in the north of England where we meet every 3 months to discuss the wares and being of UC. We've got our next one in a couple of weeks' time, actually. Yeah, that is under a website of northernucusergroup.co.uk. So please check that out. And anybody who listens to this, more than welcome to come along. Also, just moving down the slide, I was the technical reviewer on Lasse and Lassio's Link Cookbook. That came out a while ago now, but that's got some great content in there and something I enjoyed reviewing for them guys. More recently, the Skype for Business Unleashed book came out I think probably at this moment 3 weeks ago, maybe a little bit less. Again, I was involved in that. We've got the four authors, but myself and a few of the other guys in Modality was co-authors in that book. So there is two chapters in the Skype for Business Unleashed book, which I created and wrote. So I won't mention and call them out this moment, but if I start seeing people saying, "Oh, these chapters were good or bad," then I might come out and say it. But yeah, it's a good read. So please go out and have a look, download it off the relevant Amazon sites or whatever. So just moving on, what I just want to touch on, what gives me the right for talking around the Mac client, in particular, what makes me an expert, I guess. So in my working life, I've almost always used a Mac for my corporate work. There was, probably going back 6 years now, a year of my life where I wasn't allowed to use a Mac, which was unfortunate, but that's what it was for a particular employer at that time. So you know, historically, I started on the PowerPC type Macs back in the day before they went to Intel. Always used Macs, know my way around Mac OS very well. And then as it's gone along in the UC world, been a heavy user of the Link4Mac 2011 client, and then more recently the Skype for Mac platform, which we'll talk around going forward. One thing I want to just call out, I know it's something when I've done video blogs before, people have asked me to talk around and mention, is the peripherals I'm using today. So I'm using a MacBook 12-inch computer, fully loaded with every extra you can get. The webcam I'm talking to you through is a Logitech C930 HD webcam, and I'm not using any sort of headset, although I could use one. I've got one on the side of me. This is a Sennheiser that's actually brand new, actually. I think it's getting launched next week, the Sennheiser MB660. Anybody hasn't seen it, great device, go and have a look at that. Really good. Today I'm just going to talk to you through the speakers on the Mac. So let's move on to the next slide and let's see what the next one is. So the pot of history. So before we actually really touched on the Skype for Mac client, what I'd like to do is just kind of take us back in time and just have a think about what Microsoft and Apple have done over the years. So Link4Mac 2011 came out at the end of 2010 as a small beta and then release. And since then, it's been forever more updated. It seems to have been on almost a quarterly, 6 monthly basis when the updates came out for that. At the start of Link4Mac 2011, it was IMMP only, and then through the iterations, it's become conferencing and the enterprise voice with all the fidelities what you'd see within a Windows equivalent. Along the way, though, in my opinion, Link4Mac has always been kind of the ugly sister to the Windows client. You know, Link 2010, Link 2013, and Skype Business for Windows has always seemed to have taken the priority over developing and pushing forward. It's only of late, in the last, I guess, year, that Microsoft really give it a bit of focus and airtime for development, in particular the last stage of Link4Mac and also now Skype4Mac. I know certainly 2 years ago, back in Redmond, there was certainly around the Skype for Business for Windows and Skype for Business Server, there was 40-45 developers working on the Windows elements and two Mac developers working on the updates for Link4Mac and also starting to think about the Skype for Mac client. So I'm pleased Microsoft's really investing in what is a lot of pain for a lot of Mac users, and hopefully at the end of October we will see the fruits of that labour and have a good Skype for Mac experience. Moving on, about the Skype for Mac client. So let's just touch on that. So For me, I sat there in rumblings of the Skype for Mac potential beta preview and other things around about probably November, December of last year from Microsoft, from the calls what I have with Microsoft. Since then, you know, fast forward to probably February, March, I think we all got to hear from Jamie Stack and Paul Cannon around the preceding Skype for Mac public release and what that meant for the public and how to get onto the, I guess, the program for the public. Myself personally, and the company I work for, we're privileged to be on something called the Tap and Sprint platform. What that is in a nutshell is, it's actually called Sprint now, it's not called Tap, that's the old name, but what Sprint entails is the development team at Microsoft in Redmond, they do their dev stuff, it comes out of the development, and then after, I think it's 3 days actually, after 3 days of Microsoft dog fooding, their word not mine, which means, you know, that their testers will run through the actual build element of it for 3 days, see if there's any major bugs, see if everything hangs together right. After the 3 days, it gets pushed out to companies like the one I work for, and also selected other corporate clients who Microsoft invited onto their Sprint program. I believe this time around for the Skype for Mac, they invited 10 clients globally onto that platform to help them with the Sprint testing. So so what that meant for myself personally, I think I got early release in as part of Sprint. I think it was March of the new client and what that entailed at that time. The public then went on to the public preview. So again, Microsoft invited a maximum of 4,000 users, and I guess there will be some companies within that 4,000 as well onto that program. At this moment, in terms of the Sprint builds, myself, I'm running 3.5.3.6 in Sprint, and that's the same equivalent as what you saw from Gurdeep's presentation over at Ignite in Atlanta on his, which you might have seen recorded. Currently, the public beta, public preview is on version 3.0.3.6, which is a few steps behind. So I got 3.0.3.6. What are we on now? We're on the 1st of October. I got that, I think it was around about the 1st of September actually. So we've gone up 500 builds iterations since then. But yeah, it's 3.5.3.6 at the moment. Fortunately, due to my Sprint NDA, I can't really tell you too much about what's in 3.5.3.6. But all I can kind of state is it certainly is getting better with every drop which Microsoft provides. In terms of the new client itself, the new client, as Microsoft stated, built upon a new technology, a new development platform called Swift. So historically, Link for Mac 2011 was built on Xcode, which is Apple's old developing platform. Again, at that time, Link for Mac worked well on Xcode, but more things and more functionality we pushed or Microsoft pushed into Xcode, the more we saw the clients becoming more slow, flaky, and actually hitting the end of the road with what you could do with the actual development platform. Skype for Mac is built on Swift, that's Apple's new technology, and also 64-bit and a lot more resilient, and it uses the same underlying code as what Apple's iOS platform is as well. So it's a lot easier for developers to actually code across platforms. In relation to the client itself, though, Microsoft built that based on two platforms, UCMP, which is the Unified Communications Management Platform, and also the UCWA Web API platform. So particularly the second one is of great interest and importance, which I'll mention now. So what UCWA is essentially the same kind of connectivity element as what you would get from the iOS application. So what that means for Skype for Mac is if you were sat on your corporate LAN within your organization, excuse me a second. If you were sat on your Mac on your corporate LAN, you logging onto the Skype and Mac client, what that would essentially do, certainly in public 3036 build, is that would hairpin out. So that would go out from your edge box externally to hairpin back in as a external client. In built within the public preview at this moment, there's no technology or capability that the client can look at DNS, do any sort of reverse lookup, and connect internally without hairpinning. That said, it was shown, Gary mentioned it, and I think Jamie Stark mentioned it as one of his blogs as well, that it's part of the later 3.5.3.6 and later builds. They've now got it so that the actual Skype for Mac client, when you log on, the first thing it'll do is look for Link Discover, the internal record, and will not hairpin. So that's really good news, and something I look forward to seeing in the builds coming down the road. In terms of the builds, what Microsoft stated, well, there was going to be drops in a phased approach. So the first phase was phase one, which was just meetings. That was the first cut of the actual client. Meetings worked. I forever found bugs and a bit of problematic joining of meetings in that build when it came. Phase two, IMP and contact, so we could do peer-to-peer IMs, audio and video at that point. And then phase three was telephony. At this moment, phase three is complete, as in telephony now works. Albeit, when I say works, there's still elements of telephony which still doesn't work with the public preview. For example, I'll touch on it in another slide actually, but one of the things what you don't get still is DTMF tones. So if you were ringing through to an IVR, or you know, simple things like ringing through to your bank or hotel to book a reservation or whatever, you cannot press the options what are presented in the ear. So there's still bits missing in the public preview. In relation to the actual client itself, Microsoft announced at Ignite that the general availability of the client is October release. They haven't put a date on it, but I would guess it's more towards the end of October than the start of October. I've put at the end because do I think it's ready? Based on my experience of what Sprint is, what public is at this moment, and how quick Microsoft are coding at this very moment in time, I don't know if it is ready yet, personally. I think there's still a fair few things which I would like to see in the client before it actually gets dropped to the public or general availability. So time will tell. They've still got potentially another month from today to get the skates on and give you a build which is ready to use. So we'll see. Okay, so let's move on to the next slide. So this slide is around the run requirements and what is required to actually run the Skype for Mac client. So we had with Skype for Business, there is a minimum back-end server requirement, so no different for the Skype for Mac. So at this moment, what Microsoft states is you need to be running, if you're running the legacy of Link 2013 back-end, it needs to be patched up to CU version 1 as a minimum. If you're going to Skype for Business back-end, it's got to be Skype for Business with the latest patches or hotfixes which are available for that. Alternatively, Skype for Mac does work with Skype for Business Online as well. So, it can interop direct with Azure and the old Skype Online connectivity. I've put in bold the edge element. So we touched on this before, and this is around the whole hairpinning. So again, another requirement you have to have a reverse proxy in place. you have to have an edge box in your perimeter, and all the necessary PowerShell commands run to have mobility enabled and available for the Skype for Mac client to use. Also, Microsoft stress, and again another requirement, is the Skype for Mac or your link password has to match your Exchange password for the actual calendar integration, and again at this moment there's no way within the Skype for Mac client that you've got any capability to actually adjust that or change that. So yeah, that's a prereq which you have to adhere to. In terms of the operating system, at the moment Microsoft are certifying this or supporting this around the El Capitan Mac OS. Personally though, I've run it on Lion, the predecessor to Capitan, and also the latest Sierra, and again I'm actually talking to you through at this moment through the link for Mac client, because of a fundamental issue with recording the Skype for Mac, which we'll talk on in another couple of slides. I'm running Sierra, and it works fine as well on that. Moving on to the next slide, features overview. So the features, what you can see on the screen at the moment, the fairly basic. So this is going back to the first phase, I guess. So this is a screenshot which Jamie and Paul Cannon did, and Pavina, around the phase one, actually the meeting. So as you can see, what Microsoft say is, you know, it's now using the full window state for the conferences and multi-party video elements. So there's no ugly black boxes around it, all looks nice. As you can see on the bottom left hand side, the people who haven't got the video started, in this case is somebody called SDNPC, Paul Cannon actually, you can see that it doesn't show you any sort of preview, it gives you the little round circular disc with their initials on. So yeah, that's there and available now for people on the public preview. On the right side of the screen, as you can see, this is actually a snippet from my my client. So this is actually version, this is Sprint version 3.5.3.6. So this is the same as I mentioned, the Gurdeep image, what he showed on his presentation over in Atlanta. Unfortunately, I can't go down into any detail because I'm under the NDA, but as you can see, we've got chats, we've got meetings, we've got calls. What I can tell you and confirm is on 3.5.3.6, DTMF tones is there at this moment, so works well, tested it, that's good to go. And then contacts is there, so again in 3.5.3.6, which you're not getting on 3.0.3.6 with public, you can now create groups and add kind of SIP addresses to them groups, which is in the Sprint build. Just in the middle pane, you can see I've got six instant message conversations going on as at this moment. I've had them going on, and if I selected one of them on the right hand side, it'll show you the full thread of that chat. And again, like you get with the Skype for Windows at that point, then you can call there. Mobile, if that's in Active Directory, all gets pulled through like it does with the normal client, Skype for Business Windows client. So that's where it is at this moment. So again, can't really talk too much about it, but at this moment it's looking like it's getting there, and yeah, it'll be good to see what October brings. Well, one thing I want to do though, just moving on to the next slide, just click it over. I really want to talk around the issues and outstanding items I think are fundamental to the client being ready for the October drop. For me personally, I still see a lot of things missing, or things what should be there and are not there. I know Microsoft are working flat out to try and get these bits and pieces in. I still to this point report things back daily to product group over in Redmond about things what we should be trying to include in the client ready for GA. But I'd like to run down what I guess one of the reasons for this session is I want to just ensure that everybody goes into the Skype for Mac clients, eyes wide open, and I'm not too surprised if one or two things are still missing on launch day. So first up, peer-to-peer desktop sharing, still not available. Multi-party conversations, conferences, you do get desktop sharing, but at this moment in time, peer-to-peer desktop sharing isn't in the build. Even in Sprint, it's not in that build either. Next up, no ability to create Skype meetings from the client. So what I mean by that is, if you was going to create a meeting, you'd go into Outlook, you go into Calendar, you select the link Skype for Business button in the ribbon, and in the Windows element, that generates you your body of your information with your join URL and your dial-in conference numbers and your PIN number, etc., etc., etc. Same happens on a Mac, but at this moment in time, if you clicked on the Calendar link button, as it's still called, that defaults and opens up the link for Mac clients if you've got it installed. If you don't have it installed, you don't even get the button in the ribbon. So at this moment, the Skype for Mac element of that particular functionality is there's no interop with that. You have to have the link for Mac client to be able to do like online dining conferencing type meetings. Another thing which pains me a little bit is people who send you meeting requests. So for example, I have to go, I enjoy going on Microsoft meetings every week with product group, talk around different things, but they send me a Skype URL, as I would do the opposite way around if I was sending it out. If I click on that URL again, the URL has got no reference or interoperability with the Skype for Mac client. So again, it tries to open the link for Mac to join the conference. If you don't have link for Mac, it then tries to use the browser to open and use as the conference engine, not the Skype for Mac client. There is a halfway house on this is what you can do and what is available to date, both in preview and Sprint, is you can copy the URL from the actual meeting request body, and in the Skype for Mac client, in one of the options in the drop down menu, it says enter the meeting URL. You can paste it in there, and then the Skype for Mac client will function as the endpoint for you in that conference with external people. Bit, you know, disjointed, but it gets you there. But I'd like to see, certainly before general availability, that clicking a join button will look for the Skype for Mac client. Fourth up, user presence is not available still. So what we mean by that is, in Skype for Business Windows, in Link for Mac 2011, I type in, example would be somebody on my IM conversation, Nick Seagrave, for example, I type his name into the Outlook for Mac client and usually get the presence smarty identifier on available away, whatever. If you don't have the Link for Mac client open and you just have Skype for Mac, you type in somebody's name in the Outlook address book, two or whatever, and you do not get the presence at all. So there's no interop again with the actual Outlook client and the Skype for Mac client. Stepping a little bit further through that, what else is still missing is Skype for Mac is still a ring-fenced entity. So you find a telephone number in a Word document. There's no capability to double-click on that telephone number, and that bridges through to the Skype for Mac client to make an external call. It, again, has got no, the Skype for Mac client's got no recollection of what other Office applications you've got running on your Mac. So again, another thing which I think, not a showstopper in any way, but certainly a nice to have for general availability. Headset. So this is a real pain for me, to be honest. I spend most of my day on conferences and telecom calls. And what I find is, not with any particular vendor, all vendors, it happens at the same. And also, actually, at this moment, Microsoft is still stating that none are certified for Skype for Mac at this moment. So you know, take that with a pinch of salt. So I'm I guess belly aching about something which potentially could be fixed or is known by Microsoft. So what the experience I see is probably worth mentioning is I'll go into a conference and, you know, somebody will be talking, I'm sat on mute, could be sat 4 foot away from my computer, not touching it, just listening, and then all of a sudden, randomly, in my ear, on the headset, it'll say I'm now unmuted. And then I'm in a whole lot of problem because on the screen it's saying I am muted, so I don't know if I am muted or unmuted, I don't know. So you go through the pain of working that out, if whichever one's right, you re-mute yourself, and again, in a randomly amount of time, it'll still say in your ear that you're again unmuted. So a real pain in the backside for me, that. And I hope that's one which Microsoft really do fix on GA, because, you know, they tout at the moment that there's a billion minutes going through conferencing through the, certainly on Skype online as well at this moment. So, you know, last thing you want is all the end users to be complaining that the headset's not working right and it's causing them problems. Things outstanding at the moment, hence why I'm using the Link Format client for this recording of this session. Recordings isn't there in the Skype for Mac build, so you've got no capability of recording anything. You do if somebody from the other side, as in Skype for Windows, Skype for Business for Windows, starts recording, you get a point to tell you that is being recorded, but you've got no capability to do anything else with that. It's you can't start, stop, or anything like that. Equally, that goes a little bit further to the likes of if you've got a conference and there's somebody making a lot of noise, you can't right click on that person and mute them or eject them from a meeting or whatever. That still isn't there in the build, even with the Sprint, you can't do that. And then, not really a point to talk about, but as we've mentioned before, or a couple of slides before, DTMF tone still isn't in public preview. It is in the Sprint one, so I guess, when did I get, the start of September, I think I got 3036, so maybe in a week or so's time that might drop to public, which is 3536, and you'll have DTMF tones. Also as well, general stability is still not really there. An example would be a peer-to-peer call you can be on. You get the drop down to add other people to make it a conference. You drag them over into a peer-to-peer call and that crashes your client. Interestingly though, it actually brings that person who you was dragging in, they're in that conference. You've just been ejected from it and you have to go back in and rejoin that call. And it'll allow you to do that, but again, just a little bit buggy in some elements I'm still seeing. And that goes to say about the client polishing. Simple things like, as you saw, I had 6 IM conversations going. There's no availability to just delete them in bulk, or it doesn't, focus doesn't provide going down the list. I can delete one, it doesn't go to the next one to delete it. I have to reselect it to delete it, reselect the next one to delete it. There's just little bits of polishing, which I'm sure Microsoft will get around to doing before GA, but at this moment, this is what I'm still seeing. So, like I say, it's not to put scaremongering on anything what's going to be dropped. I'm sure Microsoft are working on it as we speak, but, you know, like I say, to allow people to just know the warts and all at this moment in time. Next slide is links for information. So I thought it's probably worth, just before I call it a day on this 20-minute session, just to put some links up to some interesting slides, websites for you to go and have a look at and take your own. The first one is all from the Office one about the preview, and so it tells you a bit about the client and what it's capable of. Second one is to essentially try and get download of 365 for your Mac, which includes the Office Suite, which at this moment Link for Mac is still within that, not the Skype for Mac. The Skype preview URL is where you'd sign up. So I hear, don't hold me to it, but I hear at this moment Microsoft will open up that preview again potentially and allow other people in if you actually register for that. And then the last one is the Redmond Rag, which is always a good read. It tells you a little bit about everything Skype for Business related and what they know from their conversations with Microsoft. So a few sites there for you to take a look at. In terms of this session, I'd like to thank again Mark for allowing me to come and talk. I hope it's been useful to get a kind of a view on somebody who's using the Skype for Mac session day in, day out in my working life. Thank you. Look forward to seeing if anybody's reading this and listening to this. We've got the UC Day, which Mark and the Skype show is going to be doing a live show. I think it's 24th of October. So check out ucday.com. And tickets, we've got a few tickets still available, which we would like to fill. So again, thank you. Thank you very much for your time. Look forward to coming onto the show in a few months' time and talking around something else. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ian, for that very in-depth session on the Mac client. Hope you guys all enjoyed it. I have now the great pleasure introducing our next speakers, and that's going to be a collective presentation by Workstream People Anywhere 365 and Microsoft, delivered by Mathis van Domselaar and Graham Hosking. Welcome, guys.
All right, Mark, thanks for the introductions, and thanks for having us on the show. What we're going to do, I got about 20 minutes. Graham's got 20 minutes as well, so we're going to kind of make it as easy and fun as possible. I'm Matt, working for Workstream People. I'm going to present a little bit about Anywhere 365, the pure native Skype for Business contact center and dialogue management platform for the business enterprise. And what I'm going to do is not bother you too much with slides. I just got 5 slides and that's about it. And then what I would like to do is quickly jump into kind of a live demo. That's probably the most fun anyway to look at, and you can kind of see how the platform works, and what kind of functionality it has, and I'll also tell a little bit about the customer base. And what we do is not so much like a contact center per se. We really see that we're one level higher than a contact center. So we do dialogue management. So anything that involves a dialogue is something that we manage. So, and of course, that is also a contact center. But it could also be a support desk, it could also be kind of a boss admin situation, or it could be using like a federated offshore entity that you may want to include in your contact center as well. So what we're going to show shortly is a demo of that platform. I also want to tell a little bit about our customer base, because a lot of people think that you cannot have a large-scale contact center based on natively on Skype for Business. That is absolutely not the case. We currently have over 350 customers on 30 plus countries on all continents. It also covers all market segments, and this is not just small and medium-sized businesses. We actually deploy, particularly in the last year and a half, very large multinationals as well in full active multi-crossover failover implementations. The largest deployment that we do at the moment is for 2,800 concurrent agents. Anywhere 365 processes 25,000 calls every single day for them. So it is no longer just a small-scale contact center dialogue management platform. It does so much more, and it has the capability to offer that for very large enterprises. All right, so it is one platform. We compete successfully now with a very large legacy contact center infrastructures, of which we all know their names. This slide here kind of gives an overview of all these capacities and all those features. I have 20 minutes, so I'm not going to bore you with all the features, but any type of standard functionality that you can think of the legacy contact center infrastructure is covered in here. And then we add a whole bunch more and leverage the Skype for Business infrastructure at the same time. The features that we have are not just standard contact center capabilities. We have a very rich attendant console that is integrated with the Microsoft stack and integrates with the Anywhere 365 contact center instances. So very natively leverages the capabilities that the contact centers have. So if the contact center has call recording enabled, the attendant console will also leverage that capability inside the console. Wallboards, I'll show a little example of that later on as well. We have very advanced business analytics. It really provides full insight into the behavior and the activities of your operations, so you can streamline and bootstrap your dialogue management platform. And you could also look at how busy are people in a specific skill. Do I have to streamline my operations? Do I have to move agents from Friday morning to Monday evening? Because I see a big uptick in business during that time of day. Everything that you can think of with respect to analytics is actually covered in the comprehensive suite that we provide. I'll show a quick example of that later on. All right, cool. Let's move on for now. Gee, four slides, five slides. This goes, I'm going to give Graham a lot of time to be talking. He's got about 16 slides. So this is an example of a wallboard. We have about 7 or 8 different instances. It depends a little bit on the responsibilities of the person that is needing a wallboard. So this might, for instance, be an instance that is on the wallboard inside a service desk or a contact center. There's details in the middle of the active dialogues that are taking place right now. And the lower right kind of shows an overview of all the agents that are logged in or not. And the lower left shows the statistics of today's call volumes. So in one blink of an eye, you can actually see the current status. If I'm, for instance, managing multiple instances, we have very large multinationals that have instances all over the world. The supervisor that oversees all these instances does not want to see any single instance. He wants to see an overview of all of them. So we have different wall boards that actually show a subset or kind of a summary of all these contact centers. All right, great. So this wall board, if I give a demo, you will see the same wall board, but then in the live environment, and then of course the middle part where you see a whole bunch of activities. So customers on the left, agents on the right, that will of course be empty or only showing something when I make a test call. All right, great. So the reception attendant, like I mentioned, it complements the platform quite nicely. We have a dedicated team working on this application. It basically provides a very rich interface for the reception to answer incoming calls, forward the calls. It has a queue management, so at the bottom over here, you can actually see the number of calls coming in. And at the top, you actually see, if I'm the receptionist, you can see Harris Anderson calling. There's actually a little SLA bar at the bottom. You want to answer every call in, let's say, within a minute. And while Harris is calling, I can already see who Harris spoke to before. So I can see that he spoke to Melissa, and he spoke to Keith yesterday, and to Jessica the day before. So if Harris mentions to me, like, hey, I want to talk to Melissa, I want to talk to the lady I spoke to yesterday, me as the receptionist can immediately tell him, well, you spoke to Melissa. Unfortunately, she's unavailable right now because I can see her presence. I actually also have access to her Exchange calendar, so I can immediately see that she's in the meeting. And I can give Harris feedback saying, you know, Melissa is unavailable right now. She's in a meeting for another half hour. She can call you back in half an hour, or I can transfer you right now to Jessica. She's the lady you spoke to the day before. And then Harris may say, oh, that's great, because she knows about the issue as well. And I just do a click, a drag and drop of the conversation, and the call is transferred. Or I can do a consultative transfer. There's many plugins on the right-hand side. There's connectors with Active Directory. There is Address Book. There's Extended Contact Card. There's Team Calendar. There's Visitor Self-Sign-In capability. There's the BusyLive plugin. There's a whole slew of plugins that enrich the environment even further. All right, so that's the reception attendant. Cool. So I'm going to show the demo right now. The key thing is that we leverage the standard Skype for Business client. So that means that any agent that has access to a Skype for Business client can be an agent in a contact center or a service desk of Anywhere 365. That means if I'm on a mobile device or if I'm on a Windows phone on the beach with a Skype for Business client, I can still be an agent in a contact center. The other thing is, like you mentioned, it's 100% Skype for Business. So we're using we're a trusted application inside the Skype for Business topology. The other thing that I'm going to show is the integration with the Microsoft stack, and particularly with Dynamics CRM. So Dynamics is actually going to enrich the Skype for Business client based on the contacts of the incoming incoming call. So that's kind of in a nutshell what I'm going to show you guys. And what I'm going to do first is share my screen. Right, this is the wallboard. This is the live wallboard, not the busy one that you that I showed in the presentation a second ago. As soon as I start making calls, you can see there's actually propagate in the middle section over here. There's a couple skills at the top. Of course, these could be anything. And for now, I just defined four for now, including emergency, HR support, and general inquiries. At the lower right, you can see that there's one agent affiliated with this contact center right now, of which one is busy. That's actually me. And if we actually switch to the content management layer of Anywhere 365, it looks like this. It's one single point of entry for managing the whole platform. So meaning that from the smallest deployments all the way to the very largest ones, where we have multiple contact center instances across many, many different data centers, for instance, it would still use the same infrastructure, the same interface that you see right here. And it differs a little bit. It's, of course, role-based, which means that anybody that has access to the content management environment of a contact center will see a little different capabilities. And that means that, for instance, if I'm the supervisor of an agent, supervisor of a contact center, I can actually add and change agents and change workflow if I wanted to. And let's say I want to add a new agent. Graham has graciously allowed himself to be guinea pig to be added as an agent. So if I click on agent and I make a new item, everything is done by SIP address, which means that anybody that has a SIP address can potentially be added as an agent in a contact center. So, which means that if I have a SIP address, I'm on Skype for Business, I can be added. So if I actually add Graham as an agent in the contact center, I can actually have custom hours enabled, or I could integrate with the workforce management system. I could make him a formal or an informal agent. So right now he's an informal. Formal meaning that he can actually subscribe or start edit, being added as a, in the pool of agent in a contact center, and stop if he wanted to. In this case, he would be always added when he's online. And let's say I also want to add him, give him some skills, because right now he's added as an agent. And I'm basically going to give him, let's say I'm going to give him emergency skills. So whenever there's an emergency in this case, or something that requires immediate attention, Graham is the man to take that call. So I give him 100% skill rating, which means that we could do a skill countdown. Initially, when an emergency comes in, it starts to find the person that has 100% skill rating, and maybe after 5 or 10 seconds, it drops to 90% skill rating. And other agents that have a lower skill rating may actually be hunted to accept the call. All right, I'm not going to hit save now, because what you will actually see in the wallboard is that right now there's still one agent affiliated, and it's me, and I'm busy because I'm in this Skype for Business meeting. As soon as I hit save, you will actually see that it's real time. You can see that the wallboard now switches from one available agent to two. And Graham is actually available. So that means that, and we gave him the skill set emergency. So in the top line over here, you can see Graham now being available as an agent. And if I now place a call, I'm just, oh, he goes too busy now, just to show how it works. At least I hope that's what he's doing.
Certainly did. Certainly did.
Excellent. So I'm grabbing my mobile phone. I'm going to place a call. I'll put it on speaker so you can hear how it sounds. And what you'll actually hear is the we use the standard Microsoft text-to-speech component available in 26 languages. Almost all live deployments, of course, use their professionally recorded audio files. But I'll put it on speaker so you can hear how it sounds.
Welcome to Skype Show Solutions. This conversation may be recorded for quality and training purposes.
So the call comes in, and now I hit the...
Press 1 for support.
I hit the menu.
Press 2 for human resources. Press 3 for general inquiries.
And don't ask me why I put emergency as 4, because it makes more sense to do that. To do that under 1, but anyway, so 4 is emergency.
You have chosen emergency. One moment, please. Your call will be answered by the next available representative.
All right, so Graham gets the toast now, and he's answering, and now I'm answering as a customer. Hey, Graham, how are you doing? I'm a customer.
Hey, nice to meet you. How can I help today?
I have an emergency. Can you help?
Oh, I'll try.
Excellent. All right, if Graham hangs up now, because you've been excellent in helping me.
Please rate the quality of your agent between 1 and 5, where 1 is terrible and 5 is excellent.
Well, he's very courteous. And,
thank you for your feedback.
Quick. So this is just how easy it is to place add an agent to the contact center, give him some skills, and on the fly, without doing anything else, he's added to my infrastructure. If I'm now doing it again, and I'm going to place another call now, the same call, put it on speaker again.
Welcome to Skype Show Solutions. This conversation.
I'm going to put it on mute so I can talk. About what happens now. So I'm going to basically hit emergency again, but it could also be like a VIP customer that's retrieved from dynamic CRM. So you may always want to answer a specific call, even if there's no agents available. So right now I'm going to select, I'll put it on my speaker again so you can hear what I'm doing. Type 4.
You have chosen emergency.
And what you can see
one
now
moment,
is that
your
there's
call.
No agent available. It starts blinking red. But I've set up the system to actually overflow to a mobile number, which means that if nobody answers in the allocated time, it's going to overflow to a mobile number. In this case, I've set it up with number of Graham. And there you go. It kicks in now. And now you can actually see if all goes well, Graham's phone number should start ringing.
It does indeed. There it is.
Excellent. And if you answer, actually... Hey, Graham.
Hello.
All right, great.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Okay, so now I'm a customer on a mobile phone talking to my emergency help desk, and you were not available, but it was a VIP customer based on Dynamics or based on other preset conditions. It was not answered by a Skype for Business agent, and it then used the standard PSTN overflow call to reach your mobile phone in this case, but it could be any phone number for that matter. And the cool thing is, this is still part of recording. So even though it seems like I forwarded to your mobile number, it is still inside the Anywhere 365 slash Skype for Business topology. If Graham now hangs up, you will hear that the quality control kicks
Please
in.
Please rate the quality of your agent between 1 and 5, where 1 is terrible and 5 is excellent. Thank you for your feedback. Have a great day.
So even though it seemed like we forwarded, we didn't really forward. Anywhere 365 was still in control of the whole call flow, which means that even though we forward to Graham's mobile phone because it was a VIP customer or an emergency, it is still inside the call recording slash reporting engine of Anywhere 365. All right, moving on. I'm going to place the exact same call, but now I'm actually going to show you the agent experience. I'll spare you the menu. I'm just going to call one, push one. There's no agent available. I'm just on the fly going to make myself available. So I get the toast. I'm going to accept, and then bear with me while we, because I'm going to lose my audio. So what happened here? So there was an incoming customer calling the support desk, and they actually selected support. So they had a support question. There was one agent available, which was Matt, and he actually got the toast. What you potentially saw is that the toast itself was already enriched with dynamic CRM information because it already detected who was calling, and that information was already propagated inside the toast for the agent that was going to accept that support request. The agent then accepted, and he gets from the standard Skype for Business client, which this still is, it gets enriching information from Dynamics. And just to show you, this is your standard Skype for Business client that we're all familiar with and that we all love. But it now has additional information. It actually shows the person that's calling right from the standard Skype for Business client. So this is the customer. He or she is actually requesting support. This is the company affiliation. There's previous contacts here that this customer spoke to before. And I also have all my dynamic CRM cases over here. And if I click on each and every one of them, actually it opens up a dynamic CRM environment. I can immediately access that information. The other cool thing is that I have call history at my fingertips. So the call that we just had a second ago, where Graham was acting as an agent, they're right at my fingertips as well. So I can actually see that a couple minutes ago, this same customer actually spoke to my organization and was actually logging an emergency call. So I have the total customer journey in here as well. So everything that happened before, including if I have the proper permission, the recording of that specific call is right here. And Graham, who's actually busy right now, if he was not busy and this customer after logging a support call wants to talk to that same agent again, oh, there he goes green. I can actually do a drag and drop if I so desire. So it's a very adaptive environment where I can do all kinds of things that the agent needs to do to provide excellent customer feedback. And the previous call where Graham's number, it was actually overflowing to Graham's mobile number, is also in here. So I have total overview of this particular customer that's calling my organization. So, and if I want to see more information, I can actually click on the contact card over here and I get the direct two-way screen with my familiar dynamic CRM information. I can just change anything that I need to. All right, cool. I have other stuff here as well. I'll skip that for now, where we can do very dynamic conferencing. We can classify each and every call, which can be used in the business intelligence suite. I can, of course, transfer. I have capabilities to start and stop recording. I can transfer to a skill instead of to a person. I can transfer to another skill group and many more things, which I'll keep to a minimum for now. All right, great. I'll stop this call. I get the quality control over here, I'll skip that for now. This one I'll show very quickly. 20 minutes is like a crash course for all the cool features that we have. What we do here is we basically provide in a couple lines of web code, we basically provide capabilities to embed Anywhere 365 and Skype for Business capabilities on your website. So we turn websites into contact centers. So right now this is shown as not available, whoever is behind this particular help desk. But as soon as I set my presence to available, you can actually see that the help desk starts to become available as well. And I can then start chatting immediately. It shows up on the bull board as well. An agent is being hunted. This one could actually also, we have a lot of customers that have the dynamic CRM extension window here as well. I accept the call and now we're chatting back and forth. And what we can also do is we can actually add different modalities as well. So if you basically want to do a voice call through your website as well, you can add audio to that. Right now, you can see at the lower right, audio is being added straight through the website. I'm going to do ignore, otherwise we're going to skip the audio in this session. I can add video as well. I can add co-browsing. I can add call me back. So all the modalities that the agent wants to use to engage with the customer that enters the web chat is readily available. Very, very, very powerful. Large customers that we deploy this to. Are basically seeing a dramatic drop in call volume, basically because now they give customers a very powerful access in a controlled manner to their qualified agents. So it's a very, very powerful feature. All right, before I really run over time, as I skip the chat now, and you can see that it goes back to being not available because I go back to being in this meeting. So last thing, looking at time, what I'm going to show is just one little tiny element out of the rich, comprehensive suite of dialogue intelligence. Everything that we've from the 350 plus customers that we have, all of them have had requests about what they're looking for with respect to reporting. It's all in here. It's just a matter of kind of getting to know your way around the huge slew of different reporting capabilities. And I'm just going to show you one tiny little one. This is, for instance, the supervisor that wants to look at all the calls that occurred for his or her particular contact center instance. And he or she, for instance, wants to look at all the emergency calls. And she can actually see when calls arrived, how long it took for customers to actually make a decision in the menu, how long did it take for the agent to get hunted, how many agents were actually available at when the call came in. Well, in this case, it was one. What was the agent rating? In this case, five. What was the agent that accepted? It was Graham. And I can also zoom in. So everything is dynamic. So for instance, if I zoom in here, I get the full customer journey of this particular dialogue. And you know, I'll spare you the details, but in this case, you can actually see everything that you need to make a true proper assessment of every single dialogue that occurs in your platform. For all modalities, it doesn't matter. So before Mark really gets upset, I think I'm going to leave it there. I think one thing that it is important is that we've been talking about kind of contact center capabilities for Skype for Business. And the key thing is that we are also doing this for Skype for Business online users, which means that we have multiple customers, dozens of customers that are actually have all their agents fully natively in the cloud. And it doesn't really matter where they are residing, if they're homed on-prem or if they're homed in the cloud. For us, it doesn't really matter. We can reach them via SIP. We can use them. We can leverage Federation. And the other thing is also that we can leverage the extension window even for federated users. That's no problem whatsoever. The only caveat, and that's just a small one, is that with respect to call recording, we can do inbound call recording, no problem. The only thing is that if you have your agents in the cloud, we of course don't have access to the front end inside Office 365 just yet. But that's the only caveat that we cannot yet do call recording on the outbound calls that an agent may place. And that's the only caveat that is, unless the outbound is initiated by the predictive dialer that Anywhere 365 has, because then of course it does flow via Anywhere, and then it is recorded, and it then gets handed to the agent. So I think I'll leave it there. I can talk for hours, but what I would like to do is just hand it over to Graham, who has many beautiful things to say, probably about the roadmap. There's a lot of new beautiful capabilities on the horizon. And of course, what we would like to do is eventually run fully natively in Microsoft's cloud. And I think there's very nice things in the very near future. So with that, Graham, I think I'm going to hand it over to you.
Hello, I'm Graham Hosking. I'm a technology specialist for Skype for Business here at Microsoft UK. We're going to go through a number of different discussion topics today, all very high level. We're not going to go into much depth, but I did want to cover some of the misconceptions around what Cloud PBX actually is. I get asked questions time and time again from customers around, what is Cloud PBX and what does it mean if I move to the cloud? But what happens if I want to use my existing investment? So we'll go through that in a bit more detail. What really the value proposition is by going to Microsoft as your telephony provider. We're going to talk through some of the calling plans, which Microsoft has made it very easy for people to understand. Some key takeaways around the service agreements, what I thought was some key items within there that I wanted to highlight. And lastly, we talk around conferencing and meetings. At Microsoft Ignite last week, there was some exciting announcements around Polycom, so we'll discuss those as well. So first of all, who remembers what one of these is or are? You might still have one. It's a legacy PBX. What we're going to go through is all the different components that make up a legacy phone system. So you'll need a phone system, as we see here on the top left. We'll also need a desk phone. This will have a cable to a big patch panel. And I remember the days when I had to go in and punch down pairs of cables to get phones working. You wouldn't believe how much kind of time and effort that went into for two cables to get our phone working. And we needed other things as well as time went on. So we needed a PSDN breakout in order to speak to people outside of our own telephony network. We needed things like dialing conferences, so voice bridges. We needed web-based meeting spaces, much like how we're using it today. How we did that in the past, I have no idea. And also instant messaging as well. So being able to send a quick question and get a quick answer back. So all of these things were required to kind of build upon what a legacy PBX system was. Whereas Microsoft is looking, wants you to look at it more like this. So you're consuming a service. So like you're using email today, which is going to be mission critical, we also want to make sure that you're not spending your time and effort in providing the service on premises. So having to maintain that infrastructure and the cost to go with that. You're still going to have your place of work, but we understand that agile working or remote working is definitely out there now, and people really want to work from wherever they are. So why not let them consume this service up with Microsoft? And did you know that Skype has consumed 3 billion minutes per calls per day? That's a huge number. So this isn't new to Microsoft. And we're also the number one meetings provider. So 1+ billion meetings per year. And this is growing on a day-by-day basis. Simple things like this brought together will help your workforce enormously. Let's talk around the misconceptions around what Cloud PBX is. So there are three deployment options within Skype for Business. You can deploy on premises, you can do a hybrid approach, and you can do pure cloud. So these two boxes cover the hybrid and the cloud only deployments. So on the right hand side, the red box enables you to use your existing PSTN lines, so your SIP provider, for example, connecting into a gateway or your existing legacy phone system, but be able to bridge those connections up to Office 365. So you can home your staff members up on 365, but they still be able to make and receive calls back to on-premises. Whereas if you are looking to negate the need for anything on-premises, you could use the blue box on the left-hand side, which is Cloud PBX with PSTN calling. So you can provision the new numbers up within the Office 365 admin portal, or if you already own your existing numbers, then you can port those up to Microsoft, and Microsoft then is your end-to-end telephony system. So plain and simple there. This next slide is a bit of an eye chart. I don't expect you to read everything that's on here, but I just wanted to show how many different mediums there are in order to connect to Office 365. Now, this isn't just having kind of a one-on-one conversation through the Skype for Business client, but also consider your meetings as well. All of those endpoints, those meeting rooms, and Skype for Business systems that are announced back in Ignite last week as well. Take note of the green lines. So one common question I get asked by customers all the time is, understand what Cloud PBX is, but if I'm calling another colleague of mine in the same office or out over the internet, does that use up my minutes? Now, crazy question, totally agree, but the answer is no. If you've got an existing network, so a LAN, a WAN, MPLS, then you're going to utilize that existing investment to make those calls. So essentially they're free. One caveat to that, of course, is mobile phones. So you would need a data plan appropriate for those end users to be able to call over the internet back into your organization. Whereas if you're calling out to the PSTN, so the public switch telephony network, then those will consume your minutes. So that's just something to be aware of then. Again, this slide, if you're really interested in it, is on the Modern Workplace blog, and there's a link to that later on. As mentioned, you can bring your own numbers to Office 365. If you've got a wide range of numbers that you need to port, then just raise a service request on the admin portal and we'll do the hard work for you. Next, let's talk about calling plans. So we've made it really easy. There are two, which is this gray and kind of a pinky box. So domestic and international. So there's nothing else outside of that. What I'm showing you on the screen here is for domestic calling is 1200 minutes per user per month. There is some discrepancies in the service descriptions. I think it's been changed now, but it did say about minutes being deducted for incoming calls. So that's not the case. You only use up minutes for outgoing calls. For international calls, there are 600 minutes per user per month. And whichever you use up first, so the 1200 or the 600, then that quota will be used. However, minutes are pooled on a tenant basis. So if I run out of minutes for my particular month, then, and as long as there's minutes available within that tenant, then I can consume those minutes. If you had one tenant and you're split by country, so you've got a group of users in the US and a group of users in the UK, then minutes are pooled on a country basis within that tenant. If, however, those minutes are not enough for you, then we can go on to something called consumption billing. So if you've got an enterprise agreement with us today, then we can show this as a line item on that agreement. You can choose on how much that you're going to spend per that particular month, or if you don't have an EA agreement, then you can do it via a credit card or an invoice, and then you choose a set amount per month or an amount that gets automatically recharged if you use those minutes within that period. Easy. So these are a couple of bullet points I pulled out of the service agreements. Service description, sorry, that I've put a link down here. So billing calculations, so it's every 60 seconds, but they're rounded up into multiples of six, and that's how you get billed. Some other interesting things are minutes, there's a rate card to what sort of numbers that you call. Again, a common question is, can I call mobiles on Cloud PBX? Yes, you can. So if they're going to be regional, national, mobile phones, international, then there's a rate card for that. And I've put a link down the bottom there. Emergency calls, if you do run out of minutes, of course, you can still dial 112-999. And you can provision around about 10% of numbers to licenses. So you can do a bulk collection of new numbers, whether that's through the GUI or through PowerShell, in order to do that. And next is the calling features. So I met with a customer a couple of weeks ago. They were really interested in the collaboration and meetings part, but they didn't really understand of what features they were from a voice perspective. This isn't a definitive list. This is being added to all the time. But three items that I wanted to highlight to you guys were the call forwarding and the SIM ring. So the facility for you to be able to automatically ring another number, like your mobile phone, for example, which means you don't have to be logged into the Skype for Business client or app on your phone all the time. It can call out via Office 365 or via your infrastructure to your normal mobile phone of the cellular network, and then you can pick up those calls as well. Team calling. So if I have a team behind me, so if I receive a call, then my team get the call. They can get it straight away or within a number of seconds. And also voicemail is also up there as well. Last section is the meetings and collaboration. So talking around what PSTN conferencing is, you may already have a voice bridge that you pay for, whether that's on a monthly basis or a pay-as-you-go basis, but wouldn't it be nice if it was all in one place? So what this means is you can buy this service from Office 365 and enable it per user that requires it. It means you can remove those third-party solutions, and it's transparent to the staff member. So once they're licensed for PSTN conferencing, as soon as they click on a new Skype meeting within Outlook, then the body of the message will be pre-populated with those dial-in conference IDs. And what that looks like is you get the normal join Skype meeting link. So within your organization, you can schedule a new meeting. They can click on that link and use the Skype for Business application in order to get into that meeting. Or you could send that out or send it to recipients that are outside your organization as well. And if they don't have the Skype for Business app, then they can gain access to that voice, video, and content through the web app. One feature that I use all the time, again, this is all in one email. The end user doesn't have to populate or find this information, is the dial-in and conference ID. And I use this quite a lot. I travel up and down the M4. My team meetings always seem to be when I'm in the car. So I can join via my mobile phone. I can obviously ring that number in the PIN, see, not when I'm driving, but use the Bluetooth in my car then to be able to not only listen to that meeting, but also speak within that meeting as well. And did you know that PSTN conferencing is now available in 90 countries? That's over 400 cities even. It's growing all the time. And lastly on this page is something we announced at Microsoft Ignite last week, which is the Polycom Cloud Video interoperability. So if you have legacy VTC systems that you want to be able to connect to those meetings, then there's join instructions down here. And it's earmarked to be in preview in Q4 this calendar year. So how do we enable that? Same as PSTN conferencing, the Polycom piece, you can go into the Office 365 admin portal, search for the Polycom interoperability feature, and then you license per user, which is this screenshot on the right-hand side. Easy. Again, staff member doesn't have to do anything. They set up a new meeting and all those details are populated for them. Lastly, some takeaways. There are some key web addresses I wanted to make you aware of here. One is the Skype preview. So if you're interested in that Polycom piece, definitely reach out to that, join, and you'll be on that program before general release. As always, the roadmap.office.com shows you what we're working on, what's coming. The UK Modern Workplace Team blog. This is not where we're regurgitating the functions and features of Office 365 and Skype for Business, but we're trying to say really what you're going to use these solutions for. So what's in it for you? So have a look at there. If there's anything that you want to see or any feedback on that, just ping me a note. It's a link to the Ignite videos, tons on there. So go and take some time to have a look at that. And also Matt showed earlier from Workstream People, which was the Anywhere 365 piece. Have a look at our partner solutions link at the bottom. Last but not least, before I let you go, there is an important event coming on the 1st and 2nd of November at the XL building in London. The most important day that you need to go is the technical day, the 2nd of November at 1:45, where myself, Joanne Warden and Angela Boss will be doing an hour's session on the business value of Cloud PBX, PSTN calling. We've got some cool videos, cool demos going on, so make sure you register for that and get your ticket today. If you want to reach out to me, there's my Twitter handle and my LinkedIn address, so feel free. And lastly, I'd like to say thank you very much to Matt and Mark for letting me present today, and have a very good day. Thank you.
Thanks, Mathis. Thanks, Graham, for that great session on Anywhere 365, Cloud PBX, Skype for Business Online. I hope everyone enjoyed that session. So now moving on to Microsoft Ignite. So the last week of September, there was a big conference in Atlanta. If you went, very lucky. If you didn't, like me, then you were looking online to see what information you could find. So I did a blog post last week on all my findings from Ignite. But there are quite a few of them in this session. I haven't got time to go through all of them. I'm just going to pick up on the major announcements that were made. So if you were watching Gurdeep's session from Cloud PBX and Skype for Business Online, he made a number of announcements, starting with broadcast meetings. So broadcast meetings have been out now for about 12 months, and we've not really seen much enhancements to it in terms of features and functionality, but the biggest announcement coming from Ignite was they now have the live transcription service almost ready for release or for preview. So the live transcription service is going to translate your meetings in broadcast meetings into four languages to start with. And this is going to be English, Chinese, German, and Spanish, or simplified Chinese to be exact. So this is great. So if you have a multinational conference, you now can broadcast to a number of countries in the native tongue of that country. Similarly, post live broadcast, there's going to be up to 50 other languages that you can translate to, but that's coming on the recorded meeting thereafter. So great news for broadcast meetings. Really looking forward to that coming out in the near future. The next big announcements, I'm going to jump down to the last point to begin with, because it rolls on quite nicely from broadcast meetings, is regionally hosted Skype for Business online meetings. So previously, or as of now, you have an Office 365 tenant and you choose that location for the tenant, whether that be US, Ireland, or anywhere else. And then every user who is enabled for Skype for Business online is homed on that tenant in that location, which is fine if you're a UK customer or UK business, but if you're a global business, then perhaps you would like to have a tenant located closer to the users. And so Microsoft have been working on this in the background quite hard over the last 12 months. And the first announcement is that we're now going to be able to have regionally hosted Skype meetings. So what this means is that we now, based on the user's location that's been assigned to the user in their Office 365 tenant, when they create a Skype meeting, it's going to be hosted on an Office 365 data center closest to that person. So if you're in the US, maybe the Western Seaboard, then it's highly likely that your Skype meeting will be hosted in the data center near you. Why is this an improvement? Well, if you think about the organizer who organizes the meeting, generally speaking, 90% of the participants in that meeting are going to be coming from around about the same location. So it's very rare that you're going to have a meeting that's going to spread globally in comparison to your local meetings. So using that logic, if the organizer is located in California, for instance, then the Skype for Business meeting is going to be hosted in a data center around that region. Great news, because it means we can now assure quality to a point. A lot of latency was being experienced by some customers. Being an organizer in the west side of America and have a tenant in the UK. So good news for all. So it's just probably another reason not to look at Express Route straight away, because Microsoft are making the service geographically aware. So the next big announcement is that obviously Microsoft have a global rollout plan of rolling out Cloud PBX PSTN calling, and it's been out in the UK and US for a bit now, and Microsoft have announced that the next two countries that will be that will have PSTN calling will be France and Spain. So sign up to Skype Preview if you're in France and Spain, and you'll soon be able to take a look at all the cloud PBX features Microsoft have to offer in that region. PSTN conferencing services has been expanded on the global rollout. I think there was about 18 new countries added to the PSTN conferencing list. So places like Vietnam, Ukraine, Australia, to name a few. So now you have a local dialing number in those regions for your conferences. Great news. And a lot of the sessions were based on the Mac client. I know I haven't got the bullet point up on here, because Ian delivered a big session on the Mac client earlier in this show, but the Mac client featured quite heavily. So look, I'm not a Mac user myself, but I know plenty of people who are, and they're really looking forward to the release of the new Mac client. So the next biggest release has been the next generation room systems, or Skype room systems. So if you watch back to Enterprise Connect back in April, Microsoft, in conjunction with Polycom, Logitech and Crestron, announced a project they were working on called Rigel. So Rigel was all about being able to turn a standard meeting room into a Skype for Business meeting room using standard equipment. So perhaps your meeting room has a TV or a projector that you just connect your laptop up to show maybe a standard webcam as well on top of the TV, for instance. Microsoft Project Rigel was to deliver connectivity to those devices that you could use within a Skype meeting room. So great news now that Logitech and Polycom, Crestron have now actually got something tangible to show. Logitech are going to start shipping with their Skype room system dock, or smart dock, which is going to be basically a Microsoft Surface Pro 4 in a docking station that you can connect these devices up to, with its HDMI, VGA cables and what have you. So really any meeting room now doesn't require a bespoke Surface Hub or traditional Skype room system, or Link room system as they were called. So literally you can convert any room system now into a meeting room. Great work. And really now there's no real excuses not to use Skype for Business online for your meetings. It's really quite covered now. So Gurdeep did say that he considers the room systems now meetings accomplished. So that gives you an idea of where Rigel, or where next gen room systems are going to go. Polycom also announced the preview of their Real Connect service in Office 365. And what that's using is, it's an Azure-based video interop service. So coming soon, it's in preview if you want to sign up on skypreview.com. If you've got a Cisco or an old Polycom HDX, VTC, or even any other VTC that you can probably think of, Polycom have this service in Azure, which you can subscribe to through Office 365. And you can connect those room systems up to Skype for Business online, which is great news and great interoperability being shown there from Microsoft. So sadly, perhaps, one of the major points from Ignite that I took away was that all the announcements for Skype for Business were focused on online only. So there was no on-premise only announcements, and in fact there were no on-premise at all announcements, whereby even you needed hybrid, for instance, for a feature to work right. So that means that coming next year, that Microsoft heads are solely focused on cloud first, so Skype for Business online. So that's where we're going to be going. So we're going to be seeing lots of new features coming into Skype for Business online first before on-premise. So by the end of next year, Microsoft's still on track for feature parity between on-premise and online. But all these new additions that are coming out in the next few months are a great way to see how how Microsoft are pushing Skype for Business Online, how they're enabling businesses to be able to take advantage of online services through and lessening the need perhaps for on-premise equipment. So moving on from Ignite, so I'm pleased to announce that the Skype show will be at UC Day on the 24th of October this year. So UC Day, if you're in the UK, is an independent unified communications and cloud conference that's hosted in Birmingham in the National Conference Centre, and it's run by a few people. Ian's one of the organisers, but also we've got Andrew Price, who's another Office Services and Services MVP, and also Jason Wynn. They put together a conference. I think this is year two. And as part of that, I'm going to be there as part of the Skype show. We're going to have a booth on the stage in the expo hall. What I plan to do is interview Andrew, Jason to begin with, and then I'll have some interviews with some of the guest speakers, which I've listed in the slide here. There's too many to mention. It's not going to be just Skype for Business. I've opened the floor out to Exchange people, into Azure, SharePoint, if we have any. So they're all welcome to come and come along and have a chat and to talk about their topics and their skill sets. So we've got the likes of Tom Morgan, Stally Hansen, Brian Reed, Jack Velas, Michael Van Horenbeek, which is Michael Van Hybrid, if you know him by his online identity. We also have Collective, who are our sponsors for the show. So if you haven't heard about Collective before, you will hear about them come UC Day. So I plan to do two live streams on UC Day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And more information you can find out on the Skype Show website on www.theskypeshow.com/UC Day 2016. And if you're going, I hope to see you there. It'd be great to catch up. And if you're not, then catch up online through the Skype Show website. And that brings it to the end of the show today. So the only thing that's left for me to do is to announce who's going to be on the next show in November. So we have Brian Ricks, which everybody should know. He's coming on. And we also have Tom Arbuthnot as well. So hope you guys look forward to November. Hope you guys enjoyed the October episode, and we'll see you next time. Thank you all, and thanks for watching, and goodbye.